Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing you news and other features of interest to the English-speaking Jewish community in Spain and abroad. This week's trivia question is, what is Haketiyah? We'll see later. This week we're very fortunate to have with us Sally Levy, who has given us a telephone interview from Canada. He's one of the few speakers of Haketiyah in the world, and he's also a cultural leader of the Sephardic community in Montreal. He's going to speak about his life and work and Haketiyah.
Well, first, Sally, I'd like to thank you very much for giving us this interview. But before speaking about Haketiyah, I'd like to talk to you about you, because you have a very, very interesting story. Can you tell us a little bit about where you were born, your childhood?
Well, I had the fortune to be born in Tangiers. Why the fortune? Because Tangiers was at that time when I was born, like many years ago, an international city.
Mm-hmm.
And this gave us a very open mind towards other cultures. And we had friends from all sorts of backgrounds, Italians, Muslims, Buddhists from India, Portuguese, French, of course, Spanish, any kind of background was settled in Tangiers. And in our school, when I attended the French school, the Lycée Français, we had United Nations in the school. So we had so many friends, and we knew about their customs, we respected them, and we were raised in that feeling of acceptance and brotherhood.
So I imagine that the lingua franca among the children must have been French then.
It depends on which children we're speaking about. Spanish was a dominant language between the children. But of course, in French, in the French school where we were, we used to speak French mostly, most of the time.
What about in the street with your friends?
Well, I, for one, the language that I used the most frequently was Spanish.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you had Muslim friends. Did you did you speak Arabic with them, or did they also speak Spanish?
No. That's a peculiar aspect of the Jewish community in Tangiers, because the Spanish language and the French were so predominant that the youngsters didn't feel the need to learn Arabic as in other parts of Morocco,
mm-hmm.
Especially southern Morocco and the big cities like Rabat and Casablanca, Meknes, Marrakesh, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So we, with our Muslim friends, we used to speak French or Spanish.
I see.
And they never complained, and they never. But here and there, we grabbed some words. When we were where we are with our parents to the market, we used to talk with the merchants and the peddlers in Arabic, a very incorrect Arabic that they call dialectal Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
And at school, we had classes of Arabic, but we were not very proficient in that language, to tell you the truth.
Uh-huh.
And then we regretted. We felt that we were missing a whole world, an entire world, a very rich culture.
Mm.
And well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Well, when did you leave Morocco, and why?
When, it's very easy to answer the question. When? In 1968. Why? 1968 came just after 1967, of course, and 1967 was a turning point in Jewish history. It was the Six-Day War. And this victories of the Israeli army against the Arab armies united against Israel was so powerful, the impact was so powerful, that the Muslim masses started to react.
Mm.
And they developed an attitude, a hostile attitude towards us, and we started fearing that maybe we will will have to leave our country because sometimes the crowds are not easily controlled, even if the army and the police were trying to protect the Jews from eventual pogroms, eventual. Mm-hmm. But the thought of it moved many, many Jewish families to leave the country. Many Spanish-speaking Jews went to Spain and Caracas, Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Others opted for to France, and we decided to go to Canada. And of course, many, many of them went to Israel.
Yeah.
But I speak for myself and my generation, the Zionist feeling was not very passionate at that time amongst the youngster of my age. So we took the opportunity. I, for one, took the opportunity that there was in Le Journal Le Monde, there was a sort of ad. The Protestant schools of Montreal were trying to hire French teachers who were not Catholic, because it's very complicated. In the
uh-huh.
province of Quebec,
yeah.
the educational system was divided into two main groups, the Catholic schools and the Protestant schools. The Catholic schools did not have the right to hire any teacher who was not a Catholic.
Mm.
And the Protestant schools had the obligation to hire any teacher except a Catholic teacher. So the Jews were automatically welcomed in the Protestant system.
Uh-huh.
In 1968, I made my application. I went for an interview in Paris, and I was accepted. And that was in February, and in August we moved.
Uh-huh.
So simple as that.
Also, something else I wanted to ask you about is that you have been very active in different cultural areas. You're kind of a Renaissance man, I would say. Music, theater, radio, you write. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I have a very complicated life as far as this is concerned, you know. So many interests that I have and I still have, thank God. Well, theater, for example. All my life I've been fascinated with theatrical arts. When I was 4 years old, I already started doing some little sketches, small scenes for my family. I dressed up with an old my uncle's costume or my uncle's jacket and or suit. And I used to imitate him in front of an audience. Which, we had a large family. And as the year went by, I started charging a fee to see me. They used to give me a couple of prutot, of una perra gorda, una perra chica. You don't know that.
Yes, that. I do remember.
You
that.
Do?
Yes,
you
I
remember
do.
That?
I sure do.
So they gave me una perra chica, una perra gorda that I... because I wanted to charge, you know. I was becoming a professional. So, and then in the high school, in the secondary level, a teacher wanted to put on a play. It was a medieval farce. And I applied for a part, and they gave me the main part. So I started at that age, and at the age of 14. And since then, I never stopped doing this type of things. As far as choirs and singing, well, I used to go very often to the synagogue, and I was like a sponge. I took everything that I heard, and I cherished the melodies. When I went home, I put a sort of towel around my neck to figure out if it was a tallit. And I started pretending that I was a cantor, that I was the Shaliach Tzibur. And I very, very soon I memorized tunes and words that I did not understand. but very faithfully I attended the synagogue just for the sake of hearing that those melodies. Maybe my religious feeling was not as powerful as my feeling and my love for the melodies. Mm-hmm. So I started singing. I discovered that I had an acceptable voice.
You have a lovely singing voice.
Thank you very much. You're very kind to me. And I started singing in the synagogue. At a certain point, I wanted to go to the conservatory in Tangiers, but I didn't have my parents didn't have the means, the financial means to pay for the tuition, and I didn't go. So I learned what I could by ear.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for the singing. Now for the theater arts in a more adult level, when I immigrate to Canada, to Montreal, I formed a theatrical group in the school I was teaching, and we started putting on plays in Spanish. The students I was teaching them Spanish, so we put on a play in Spanish, and in French we put on a play in French, and as a parallel activity, in the Jewish community center, I founded a choir and a theatrical group, a troupe de théâtre, and we started putting on shows and all this as a voluntary worker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's clear, but...
Yes, it's very clear.
It's very complicated. That's why one of my shows is called El Schizofrenico, because I don't know sometimes if I am a cantor or a singer or an actor or
all
a comedian
all of the above.
A teacher or all of the above.
Yeah.
And the radio, well, I had a beautiful experience in Montreal. Catholic radio station had a space for other religions, and we applied, and we had, first of all, half an hour a week that we called Horizon Sepharad, and then it was going well, so they gave us 1 hour, and for 2 years I was producing, I was the announcer, I was the interviewer of that program, and we received many, many high-level figures, the French jury. So for 2 years I was in charge of the program, always as a voluntary worker, community worker.
Uh-huh. Now I'm going to ask you a question that I hope is not an embarrassing one.
I'm not gay.
No, that wasn't the question. Director Don Winkler made a movie about you called The Sephardic Journey. Can you tell us about that?
Well, Don Winkler is a very, very famous movie maker in Canada.
Uh-huh.
He worked for 20 years with the National Film Board of Canada, and then he started working as a freelancer, as a translator, a writer, and a movie maker, a TV movie maker. He made movies about many, many great people like Maureen Forrester, one of the best sopranos in the opera world. And he was looking for a Sephardi, because he didn't know exactly. He's an Ashkenazi, and he didn't know exactly what the Sephardic culture is, what is a Sephardi. And he happened by chance. Well, my daughter never believed in chance. She says that coincidence doesn't exist, and she said this is called synchronicity. So he happened to be a friend of one of my former students in Montreal, and he was chatting with her. I'm looking for someone who could talk about the Sephardi community, the culture, how they adapted to their new life in Canada, etc. And she said, yes, my teacher, Sholi Levy. I have a teacher, he's involved in the community. So Don Winkler called me, and we started working together. He's a delicious man. He's a very nice man. Mm-hmm. A mensch, like we say, a mensch in Yiddish.
Yes.
A real mensch. So he gathered a team of extremely professional people, six of them, and they started following me in my daily life. And they made out of maybe 40 hours of filming, they made a 22-minute movie that is, to me, something. It's not because I am the subject matter of the film, but it's really something.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it in two languages, in English and in French.
Uh-huh. So was that a movie for television? Was it shown on TV?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. It was broadcasted in the national television in Canada, Radio Canada, in French, and in a channel that is specialized in cultural events and history. The channel is History Channel. And they also played it in the theater for the Montreal Film Festival.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see it.
Well, maybe we'll get a chance to see it on Spanish television someday, or maybe they'll play it in a Spanish movie theater. So, if you're still wondering what Jaquetilla is, you'll just have to tune in next week for the rest of the interview. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. And as a special treat, I'm going to leave you today with the song Ventanas Altas by Gerineldo, which is Solly Levy's group. See you next week.
Ventanas altas tienes tú con velas amarillas.
Esta noche rogó al Dios que me subas arriba.
Tirilay la hop, tirilay la hopa, tirilay la hop, tirilay la hopa.
En mis arraibos con vidi no vos vagane ates.
Vista y rosca, yo vos mandís, atrás me las mandaste.
Tirilay la hop, tirilay la hopa, tirilay la...